Praise God. Amen. Well, we're going to have a short message, and then we're going to just have practical applications. We're going to go out and just pray for the sick. So we're going to have a short message. Now, the message, if you look for a title, is How to Learn to Love Yourself. You know what? We do acts of kindness to people in the streets that we meet. We might be in the grocery store and in the line, and then the lady in front of us, she needs 56 cents to, you know, to get through the line, and she just didn't have it. So we'll say, ma'am, here, I got that. And you give her a dollar and tell the cashier to take it out. And she'll say, oh, thank you so much. So we do acts of kindness to random strangers all the time. So that's really showing the love of God. You know, there was a guy that walked up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the first is like this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And then the second is like unto that. He said, you must not only love your God, but you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what happens is when you've done that, you fulfill the commandment. You can fulfill all the laws. Because what happened is really the fulfilling the law and being a representation of the love of God is only summed up in this one thing. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, as you would want other men to do unto you, do unto them. So basically, I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So when you realize that you're loved so much by the Father, then what happens is it frees you up from works. When you get a revelation of how much you're loved, then what happens is you can give people the love. In Romans 12 and 3, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So once you become born again and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence on the inside of you, the Bible says out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's talking about the Holy Spirit coming in and tabernacling with you. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, he started his earthly ministry. He lived on the inside of every believer. But some believers don't know that, and they think that they're still trying to do works to please God, and they're trying to help other people and just do all kind of stuff. But yet, guess what? They won't even love themselves like that. Some people will give their last dollar to help somebody pay their rent, but they still riding around, and there's nothing wrong with that. They still riding around in a 1963 Rambler, you know, with about five different color doors. Okay. Well, it only four doors, but four different color doors. And it's held together with baling wire and spit and paper clip. Well, guess what? You don't love yourself if you ride around like that. You know, you need to love yourself like you love others. So a lot of times when people don't love themselves, you know what? That's broadcast to the whole universe. Whole universe said, okay, well, he's not worthy of love. She's not worthy of love. And so what happened, what you broadcast to the world, that's what you get back. The Bible says, out of abundance, out of heart, the mouth speaks. So you'll say things, you know, this is not being humble. When somebody says, gee, man, that's an awesome shirt you got on, man, that's awesome. Oh, this ain't nothing. I got this at Walmart for $5. It was on sale. No, see, you can't even receive a compliment. But see, you should say, thank you, man, I appreciate it. And so that's when you know you love yourself. But if you put yourself down and don't even receive compliments, something's wrong. Something went haywire. So what happens is you got to get a revelation of the love of God. When you get a revelation deep down in your spirit with the love of God, sets you totally free. And so what happens is most people don't love themselves because they don't like themselves. Have you ever known, you know, the Bible says that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And guess what? But some people will love their neighbor, but they may not like their neighbor. So they'll love them, just cut and meet the bare minimum requirements, but they don't like that person. They won't go and try to spend any time with that person because that person, honorary, cantankerous, don't want to receive none. So they love them from a distance. But sometimes you can like people, we're commanded to love them. Sometimes we don't like people, but we're commanded to love them. We got to love them by the grace of God, but love them by faith. Now, a lot of times we don't like ourselves. We think we missed it. We didn't pray this morning. We didn't fast last week. We didn't read our Bible like we should. So we condemn ourselves. But see, is God condemning us? No. Our daddy loves us. Sure, he wants us to do all those things. All those things are good, aren't they? But they're not requirements for God, the Father, our daddy, loving us. He loved us before the foundation of the world because he sent Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And so what happened was Jesus came back and he in earth and the son of in the form of Jesus out of Mary's womb. He lived a sinless life, 33 years, and then he was taken up and he died for our sins. He died for every sin that we're ever going to commit, every sin that we committed in the past. The blood of Jesus cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So who are we to hold ourselves in unforgiveness when God forgives us? Amen? So what happens is a lot of times we don't know how to love ourselves. Okay, now another reason we don't know how to love ourselves, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is we don't know our true identity. You know what our true identity is? We're sons of God. Now, we're not servants. If we were servants, guess what a servant would have to be? The Bible says a servant doesn't know what his master does. A servant doesn't know what his master does. So we're not servants, but we are the sons and daughters of God. When? Somewhere in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven? No. Right now, we're sons of God. And I'm going to give you some scripture reference for it. Go to Romans 8 and 14. We're going to start there. We're going to go over these scriptures, then we're going to hit the streets running, go out in the marketplace, and show the love of God to people. Now, I can't show to people what I don't have, can I? But when I know the love of God is in me, like the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, then I can show love to people. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, guess what? You're sons of God. We got to get a revelation of that. Now, go to the 16th verse, Romans 8 and 16. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit of God on the inside us bears witness that we have the Spirit of God living on the inside us, right? Okay, let's go to 17. And it said, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. For so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified together with him. So we're children of God and we're heirs. You know what? Jesus was the first begotten son. But guess what? We're also sons of God. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John, that we would get a revelation that God the Father loves us just as much as he loved Jesus. Guess what? If I'm an heir, and let's say somebody dies for me, and Jesus died for me, he was the first begotten of the brethren. He was a son of God. He was a son of man. But guess what? If he's my elder brother, then guess what? Everything that our daddy has belongs to us. Amen? So Jesus went back to heaven. All of heaven's riches belong to him, right? And so what happened is, if we're joint heirs with Jesus, guess what? Our daddy will give us what we need. Remember the prodigal son? He had the son that went and wanted his inheritance early. His daddy gave it to him. And then his older brother was mad and all puffed up. It was his lip poked out and everything. Come on, I've served you faithfully all these years. And then the brother that was messing up, I'm paraphrasing it, came back and now you're going to throw a party for him. And the father said, son, don't you understand? All that I have is yours. So guess what? All that the daddy has, all that our heavenly father has for it is ours. Amen? So he wants to give us everything. Not just in heaven, but right now, to live the abundant life. So we're sons of God. Okay, now, go to 1 John. This is 1 John 3 and 2. We're going to go to that D. 1 John. That's in the back of the Bible. Those of you that are flipping. Oh, also I want to thank my dad, Carol, his caregiver. And also I want to thank Maria. She's she's watching her grandkids in Atlanta for her. Verse 1 and then verse 2. We're going to start with verse 1 first. But 1 John, there you go. Now, and also I want to welcome anybody else, my in-laws, if they're listening by via freeconferencecall.com. If they're listening, I want to welcome them to the service and thank them for tuning in. And we just thank God for them. We thank God for technology that we can do that. Okay, so it says right there, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Here again it says we're the sons of God, right? A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. A servant has to come up and say, well, what do you want me to do next? And then the master says, go do that. And then he got to come again. What do you want me? I've done that. What do you want me to do next? And then he got to go to the master. So he doesn't know what the master's heart is. He doesn't know what the master's heart is. But when you're sons, the son knows the father's heart. The son knows through time and just being with his dad what the dad likes, what the dad's going to tolerate, what the dad's not going to tolerate. So he doesn't have to keep telling his dad, going up to his dad, Dad, what do you want me to do? He knows. It's been inbred since he was a little boy. He knows what he should do. He's taught by tutors or teachers or whatever, but he knows the father's heart. So we're sons of God. It says in And he said, what manner of love? So here again, love. God loves us so much that he ordained that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Now, as sons of God, we're going to do some crazy stuff. The Holy Spirit is going to tell us to go love on somebody who don't deserve to be loved, the unlovely, the unthankful, the unkind, and we're going to go do it. We're going to do it. Why? Because we have the heart of God. We have the compassion of God. When we show up on the scene, God shows up on the scene. So we got to really, first of all, we got to, in order to love ourselves, we got to realize, get a revelation that we are the sons of God. Amen? Okay, now, it says, we're going to go to John, we're going to go to St. John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. And here again, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Here again. Even to them that believe on his name. So we believe on his name, don't we? We can't be a believer unless we believe on Jesus, right? So we're believers and we believe on his name. And he said, as many as received him, we received Jesus Christ, he gave power to become the sons of God. So we're sons of God. I don't care. You may not think you are. We may not be acting like it. Because we don't know our identity, and we may not even, our carnal mind may not even tell us that we're sons of God. But guess what? We're not moved by our carnal mind. We're not operating on our carnal mind. It said those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So we're not letting our carnal mind tell us who we are we? We're not letting the tradition of men tell us who we are. We're not letting our teacher that said that we were slow learner in school or whatever dictate who we are. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. Say this, I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, I can do everything and anything that God calls me to do. Because according to Ephesians 3 and 20, it says, turn to that. Ephesians 3 and 20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that works in heaven. According to the power that works in heaven. Now read it. Does that say that? Now he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that worketh in heaven. Oh, okay. According to the power that works in City Hall in Jacksonville. Okay, according to the power that works in the IRS. According to the power that works in Bold City. Does it say that? No. It says according to the power that works in us. Praise God. So guess what? God has so much trust in us that he's willing to put his power in us. When the Holy Spirit came in and took residence on the inside of us, the power of God took residence on the inside of us. We're the sons of God. Now guess what? Wouldn't God be unjust if he told you that to go do something and then you couldn't do it? Well, you know what God tells us to do in Mark, the 16th chapter? He say, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, guess what? If we couldn't do it because we're not like Jesus, and only Jesus could do it, and only the apostles could do it, and when they died, the power of God died, and we're just weak and anemic and don't have no power. But yet we have a command from God to go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Would God be unjust to tell us that we can do something but we can't do it because we're not the son, we're not the Jesus? No. So if God said it, we can do it. And he not only expects us to do it, but he commands us to do it. The Great Commission, Matthew the 28th chapter, it tells us to go ye into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And so what happened? If that's a commission, that means that's an order that we got to follow. How can we follow the order if God didn't give us the power? Well, I went and tried to tell somebody about Jesus, and they said, get away from me. And then I guess I'm not supposed to feel the Great Commission. No, guess what? We're going to get rejection, okay? We're going to get rejection. They rejected Jesus. But guess what? As you step out in faith and do it, all of heaven backs you up. So we're the sons of God. We're the sons of God. We got to realize that we walk in power and dominion. Adam, before the sin, he had the wisdom and the knowledge of God, the mind of Christ, of God so much that he could, when the animals came before him, he instantaneously knew that that's tiger, that's bear, that's elephant. Well, guess what? When we get born again, we have the mind of Christ. So a lot of times we get downloads from heaven, supernatural things that we don't even know with our carnal mind that God gives them to us as we go out and step forth and do his will and work. So one of the things that God wants us to do is to love ourselves. Here's what I want you to do. Just put your arms around yourself. I'm loved as a father and I love myself. Just say that. Praise God. So, now, like I say, it's going to be a short message. We're going to continue on this. And it's a lot of how to learn to love yourself. We're going to continue this on Sunday. But right now, we're going to go out and hit the streets and just show the love of God. And guess what? We're doing what Jesus told us to do. When we go and pray for the sick, as a point of contact, as a point of contact, and we don't even have to lay hands on them, but whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you can do it. Just be inventive. Do like Jesus did. But when we command that sickness or whatever's got them bound to go, it has to go. You got to realize you got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so what happened is, isn't it a lot easier to go and find somebody that's sick or tormented or something, and then through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, set them free? And then, because you know what? If we go there with a tract, let's say we go with a tract with made whole ministry and pass them out. Come to our service. You need to be saved. And all. You know what? And then let's say, worse than that, we're not going out with no Bibles. You know why? The average church person that's been in church for over 2 months got all the gospel that he need to go lead somebody to the Lord. But we've been in church for 10 and 20 years, and we're still waiting until we get permission to go out and do God, the Lord's work. But guess what? We ain't taking no Bibles. You know why? The Bible's in us. Guess what? If we walk around with a Bible, you know what they're going to think? Run? They're going to see us and run. They're going to think we're Jehovah's Witness or Mormons or something like that, or some person like that, and we're going to beat them over the head with the Bible. But guess what? The first century church, did they have the Bible with them? They had the Word of God in the heart. And so what happened was, but back then they knew the five books of the Bible were the Pentateuch. But guess what? They were so big, the scroll and stuff, they couldn't run out in the street with a whole scroll. Wait a minute. Let me roll the scroll out. It says right here in the book of Moses, you know. No, they couldn't do that. So what they did, when they went out, they preached the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come. That's what they preached. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. The scribes and the Pharisees knew all the law of Moses, and they could quote it and all that other stuff. But the disciples didn't have the convenience of doing that. What they did, they preached the kingdom of God. And what happened is, Jesus gave them power to heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the gospel, and set the captives free. And so what happened is they did it in demonstration of power. When somebody's sick, and you command that sickness to leave, or they're tormented or whatever, and you command it to leave, and guess what? They get set free, and they don't have any more pain. Guess what? There's no argument against that. The power of God has been manifested. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come in enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in a demonstration of power. So when you demonstrate the power of God, guess what? There's no argument against that. If you want to debate about what's the right religion and all this other crap, you'll have a debate, and they'll think they'll leave thinking they're right and you're wrong. And nothing is accomplished through the kingdom of God. But when you set them free, guess what? You got authorization to speak in their life. And then guess what? When you pray for them and they get healed, guess what you say? Well, how do you think that happened? How do you think that happened? And they say, well, it must be God. And not, yeah, it was God. Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you. And guess what? It ain't no theology. It ain't no argument. A miracle has been created in a body, and they've been set free. And then you have opportunity to speak into their life. And then you can ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if they say no, would you like to know the God of the Bible that just healed you? Yes. Okay. Well, pray with me. We lead them into the sinner's prayers. And the moment they pray with an earnest heart, because their heart is melted, they know of a surety that God is alive and he has power. They'll be ushered into the kingdom of God. They'll be ushered into the kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So that's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to be effective for God. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and with that, we're going to go ahead and close. And then we're going to hit the streets. And then we're going to go ahead and see the demonstration of power of God in activation and operation. I'll be there. And we're all in training. But we're going to go at it. And we're going to see who does the healing. God does the healing. So guess what? It's not us. A lot of times we may get rejected. Some people may not want to say, don't pray for me or whatever like that. So we got to be use wisdom and stuff. So we got to get permission to be able to speak into people's life. Guess what? If somebody don't want you to pray for them, you can't pray for them. Nothing's going to happen. You know why? Because their will is involved. If they don't want to receive, if they want to stay the way they are, then guess what? They're going to stay the way they are. But if they give you permission to pray and for them, then you tell them don't pray. Tell them relax. And then you just speak and command. You know, long prayer. God can heal them instantaneously. No long prayer, but speak to whatever that they say that got them bound and commanded to go. And then God and Jesus heals them. He's the healer. And then it'll be a created miracle done in their body. So that's how we're going to do. Amen. We're going to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Amen. And when we come up to them, don't look like you've been sucking on a lemon and everything. You know, no. But what you got to do, they got to see the love in you. They got to see the love of God. Even if they say, I don't want you to pray for me, you still bless them and love them. Send them on their way. But you got to show them the love of God. There's no weapon formed against love. So that's how God loved us into the kingdom. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and have a word of closing prayer. And then we're going to go get ready and hit the streets. Father God, I just thank you, Father, that you deputize us to be containers of your glory and of your power. And Father God, you tell us that we should pray for the sick. We should go into the prisons. We should go into the hospitals. We should go into the nursing homes. Wherever people are sick and bound up and need to be delivered, you're sending us to show the love of God. And as your ambassador, Father, Jesus said that we should do greater things than he did. No greater miracle than bringing somebody into the kingdom of God. So right now, Holy Spirit, you go ministering angels. You go and do only what you could do. Wreck their world. Wreck our world. Show yourself strong and mighty in this earth right now. And we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise for everything that will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're ready to hit the street.